live from the produce department in Saratani's grocery store in Melrose, Massachusetts. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, statesman, smooth talker, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, probably the best ping pong player you'll ever meet, Richard J. Ringhausen. And get ready, marksman, sculptor, daredevil, the seven-time World Welterweight Alligator Wrestling Champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who's not afraid to spend the night sleeping in the coffin. The youngest of Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen. Hey, here we go. That's Mr. Ringhausen to you. That's Les Brown and his band of renown.
Yeah. It strikes me that every so many years, there'll be some group, some modern band that'll embrace kind of the big band sound.
Like thing Brian Seltzer.
Like it's going to make a big comeback. Yeah. Or Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, yeah, or, you know, new groups like that.
And it never does.
They'll get one hit out of it, and then it kind of goes away again. You know, so.
For another 20 years.
Rick, I am going to start off by letting you know that this is my last podcast on the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Show.
Is it?
Yeah. I've started my own podcast, and it's called Allie Ringhausen's Alligator Wrestling Show.
Ah, so that we have the pecking order correctly in order.
What was that?
I don't know. That was
There it goes again.
Yeah, I know. It was a problem I have.
Are you getting a phone call?
No, or? I was. Whenever I lay down those tracks, if for some reason someone texts something.
Okay, stop.
It keeps making that noise.
Oh, no, it hasn't stopped.
Hopefully it quits doing that at some point.
Whatever. It's not bothering me at all.
Okay, so a couple questions for you. Stop. Couple questions for you.
Yes.
Okay. In your, I don't know what to make of that. Maybe it's going to stop now. Okay.
It's like when we were kids and the TV's vertical hold would just keep flipping it. And you go, you'd like,
maybe
this
it's
going to
stop
now.
Now. Okay. Now.
And then go hit it. Hit the TV a couple of times.
Well, don't hit me. Okay, my question is, during your opening, it said, let's see, marksman, sculptor, and
daredevil.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
If
I were young.
On your tombstone, you had just one word, which one of those would you pick? Okay. Alan Ringhausen.
And what were my three choices?
Marksman, sculptor, daredevil.
Daredevil.
Alan Ringhausen. Daredevil.
Yeah. And I should have a picture of me wearing a cape.
Indeed. You know, back in the old days.
Yeah, you know, not very many people can pull off wearing a cape. You know, Elvis.
Yeah, Elvis.
Elvis wore a cape.
Superman, Batman.
Superman. But I'm talking about real life people.
Yeah. You don't see capes.
Magicians.
Often. Magicians.
They get to wear a cape.
You should bring it back.
Professional wrestlers, they'll wear a cape into the ring.
And boxers sometimes, too.
Yeah, boxers more of a robe than a cape, probably.
Yeah.
But occasionally a cape.
Alligator wrestlers would wear capes.
You darn right they would.
Okay, here's my question for you. Back in the day, you were in pretty good shape, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
You could take a punch in the stomach.
No, could I?
I mean, you had done thousands of sit-ups and actually had a firm abdomen.
Yeah, we were breaking bricks on it, man.
When we had Larry and the Clunks, we would take a break. Larry Clunk would bring a concrete brick out. You'd lay flat on the ground. He'd put the brick on your stomach. And Larry Clunk, the giant man that he is, would swing a sledgehammer and bust a brick on your stomach.
Yes, he would.
Okay. That's the setup that I've got.
Okay.
And I do you know who Frank Richards is?
Frank Richards, no.
What if I said Frank Cannonball Richards?
Oh, yeah. There's this video clip that's gone viral on the internet. And it's they fire a cannonball out of a cannon into this guy's stomach in slow motion.
Well, Frank Richards.
It's fabulous.
I looked this guy up. Frank Richards was in World War One. You know, this back then. And somehow, during the course of the war, he found out that he could take a punch in the gut.
Like Houdini.
So the war ends, and he goes into vaudeville. And his shtick is, you know, that he comes out and he will let anyone in the audience come up and punch him in the gut. You know, that's it. Just come up.
He's making a living.
Punch him in the gut. And, you know, and then he branches out to where he will lay flat on the ground and let people just come out of the audience and jump on his stomach.
Jump on his stomach, okay.
You know, and he just tightens up and does it.
Eventually, didn't he let him drive like a Model T or something over his stomach, too?
No, that wasn't him.
That was a different guy. Okay.
Different guy. But this guy, Frank Cannonball Richards, got to where he would let the Larry Clunk in the audience come out with a 12-pound sledgehammer and hit him square on the stomach with it as hard as they could swing it.
Wow, you'd think that'd kill him, wouldn't you?
He did part of his act was that he would he had like Gene Tooney, the heavyweight boxer.
Yeah, punch him in the stomach.
Just pound him in the stomach over and over and over.
Wow.
And then for his big thing as the years went by, he came up with this business of a cannonball. And it's not, they're not shooting it with live ammo. It's
he died from tetanus, stepped on a nail.
No, he did not. It was like a compressed air cannon, but it's still firing a cannonball.
Died from a mosquito bite.
Said he could only do these swings twice a day.
No, he had his limits, right?
He had his limits. Wow. He lived to be 81 years old.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So my question to you is...
That's tough as nails.
Yeah, and you know, he did this for years and years. Right. My question is,
Did he make a massive fortune doing this?
No, no. Okay. In vaudeville, how much money do you think there is?
Well, he was eating it and drinking it between shows, probably.
Yeah, that video clip you're describing is like a little black and white film. And the guy like falls backward against the net. He's got a net that...
Yeah. But he's not wearing a shirt.
No,
I mean, there's nothing there. No padding, no... There's no gimmick.
Could you take a cannonball in the stomach?
Well, God, no.
Could you take a sledgehammer in the stomach anymore?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just checking.
See, you're going into a dangerous territory, or, you know, I could be the next Houdini. You know, because of the thousands and thousands of people who listen to this podcast, I could step out of a doorway some night at a restaurant, and some guy just hauls off, punch me in the stomach as hard as he can, and I die of an abdominal rupture. Like Houdini.
I know that. It is a risk.
It's a risk that you're willing to put me through.
I will be your manager. You know, but think about...
Thank you, Rick.
Think about circuses back in the day. You know, the circuses we have today are different than circuses were back in the 1800s.
Yeah. But you're talking like Elephant Man Circus or...
Well, that too, but I mean, the dangerous things people would do.
Oh, okay.
I mean, trapeze artists, I grant you trapeze is a dangerous thing. Right. But usually they're going with a net. You know, you fall, you're not going to die from it. But back in the day, I mean...
They had the artists that didn't use a net so they could draw a bigger crowd.
Yeah. So I've got a list of famous circus accidents.
Oh, okay. Well, the famous one is the Flying Walendas.
Flying Walendas.
And they lost several family members.
Yeah, they were like building...
Like in one night.
Like building a pyramid up on a...
Tightrope.
Tightrope and fell off. And yeah, several of them died. Okay. So this is the first one I got is Maserati the Lion Tamer.
Well, we pretty much know what happened to him. Stuck his head in the lion's mouth, and it didn't come out.
In Bolton, England, He had already lost an arm to his profession prior to his tragic demise.
So he's going into the cage.
It's a one-armed lion tamer.
With either the whip or the chair, but not both. Okay.
Not both. While trying to drive five lions from one end to the ring to the other, they attacked him.
Wow.
Despite others attempting to intervene, the pride would continue to maul him undeterred, and he died on the way to the hospital, age 34.
Here's a question.
So it's not just that one lion attacked him.
All of them.
Five of them went at him.
They had enough.
You know, okay, you're the ringleader. You're the ringmaster at the circus, right? You're getting to wear your red top, yep. hat, tails,
top hat,
tails. Top hat and
jacket
tails. You see five tigers mauling the guy. What do you do to intervene in that?
I don't know. Do the circus carry guns? You know, what do they do in an emergency like that? Apparently nothing. They let the guy die.
Despite others attempting to intervene. That line right there.
Who's intervening?
To me is just pregnant with with questions.
Jenkins, get in there.
You know, you see the people.
Stop this madness.
You see the people sitting in the stands watching this. Whoa. We better do something. Come on, Alan. Let's go out and stop him. We got to save this guy. Five.
Send Cannonball in there. He can take anything.
Five lions.
Here's a question. You know, the image of a lion tamer is a chair in one hand
and
a whip in the other hand. Okay. Why did they choose a chair? Why not like a shield, you know, like a gladiator?
Like a gladiator.
Or, you know, why a chair?
Because it shows how brave you are.
Okay. Well, you know, if you were brave, you would have gone in there with a whip in one hand and a stake in the other.
Okay. Here's the next one I got. It's called the St. Louis Trapeze Accident.
Oh, okay. Close to our part of the world.
Well-known trapeze artists Fred Lizelle and Billy Millison fell to the ground after their trapeze mechanism failed, with Millison sustaining probable injuries to his ribs. George North was beneath the trapeze when it collapsed, causing internal injuries. None of the three men performed again.
That kind of put you off, wouldn't it?
I mean, once you've...
Rattles your confidence, I would think. Yeah.
There's one, the Great Wallace Brothers circus train disaster. And going through these, there's several circus train disasters. I mean, you've seen the movie...
The Greatest Show on Earth.
Greatest Show on Earth.
And they have a train disaster.
Yeah, at the end of it, there's two trains. One train carries the equipment and the animals and stuff, and the other one's the performers. For people who've never seen the movie, some bank robbers come, and they stop the first train to rob it, and then the second train plows into it.
Yep.
Giant train wreck. All giant model.
Animals running wild.
Giant model train wreck. But apparently there were several of these. The Wallace Brothers circus train disaster in 1903 one of the train yards was idle on the side when the second train drove into it. Air brakes failed, causing the train's front to crash into the rear. 23 people killed and several animals died.
It's not like they, you know, call ahead with their cell phone saying, hey, there's a train coming. You know, not a lot of communication going on in those days. That's 1903.
Otto Klein with the Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus in 1915 was a champion trick rider. Horse riding, right?
Ah, okay.
He attempted his famous leaping act, which involved vaulting over a horse and back again while it ran at top speed. When he lost his grip on the horse's saddle, struck his skull against a box and fractured it.
Killed him?
Yeah. This might be my favorite one of all of them. This is Red Eldridge and Mary the Elephant.
Okay. I bet I know which one dies.
During the Sparks World Famous Show, Walter Red Eldridge was tasked with riding an elephant, Big Mary, to a pond where she could drink.
Right.
When Mary reached on the way to the pond, Mary reached out, I guess, with her trunk to get a watermelon rind. And Eldridge smacked her with a hooked whip.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. In reaction, Mary curled her trunk around Eldridge's body, slammed him to the ground, and trampled him. There was a giant public outcry about a mad elephant. Like in Dumbo, right?
Right, where they chain her up,
They chain her up. And the next towns in the circus...
They couldn't find a tree tall enough to hang the elephant from, or...
The next towns in the circuit of the... circus said that they
came out with their torches.
They said they would not allow that elephant. They would not allow the circus to come to their town with a mad elephant in it.
Okay.
The owner of the circus, in order to keep his the rest of everything going, to appease the crowd, takes the elephant to a town of what is it? I gotta look this up. This is
Fieldon.
No. In Irwin, Tennessee.
Okay.
The accident happened in Kingsport, Tennessee, but Irwin, Tennessee was a big railroad center and had a railroad crane that was capable of lifting a railroad car up off tracks and moving it.
Yeah.
They took the elephant to Irwin, Tennessee, and hung it publicly.
They really did. Okay, I was just joking.
No, they lifted it with a crane and hung it to death. The first time they lifted it, chain broke. And they had to...
A really mad elephant.
They had a really mad elephant, and they took a second time and hung it.
That's crazy.
And they buried it there. Irwin, Tennessee, to this day, feels that they don't like being associated with being the
shame of the town that hung the mad elephant.
Hung the mad elephant. So now, every year, they do like a parade or something, and they donate the proceeds to elephant rescue or restoration or some such thing.
Wow. A century of guilt.
And then, there's a picture of it. Give me the hat here.
Oh my God. Somebody took a picture of that.
And doctored it, I think. There's question whether or not the picture's legit.
That doesn't look like a real elephant.
It doesn't look like a real elephant. But there was news reports and everything that that this really happened, that they hung the elephant. Oh, you got to find that interesting. There's several circus accidents that just fire. You know, the tents that catch
okay,
on fire.
Okay, Rick, we're breaking our rule of not talking about death again, right?
Too late on this one, isn't it? German-American circus performer Aloysius Peters, billed as the Great Peters.
Isn't that Aloysius?
Yeah, Aloysius, yeah. And the man he's billed as the man with the iron neck was killed when his signature stunt went wrong at the Fireman's Wild West Rodeo Show in St. Louis, Missouri.
There's a lot of trouble in St. Louis.
Apparently. Peters' act involved leaping from a trapeze bar with a noose around his neck made from an elastic rope. The rope Peters used as his final performance, I like that.
Final.
was of inferior wartime quality, affecting his timing, and broke his neck.
And what was his name again?
What'd you say, Aloysius Peters?
Aloysius Iron Neck Peters.
Yeah, Iron okay. Neck is right.
I wonder if that was on his tombstone.
Well, here's the Flying Willendas. During the performance of the Great Flying Willendas in Detroit, Michigan, two of the seven Willendas performing a pyramid formation on a high wire fell to his death. The rest of them continued that act, though.
Didn't they do a tightrope on Niagara Falls?
Some daring place. I think that's right. Yeah. Oscar Garcia on 1989. This is pretty new. Was performing on a revolving wheel at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, Missouri.
Here we go again.
When he lost his balance and fell 25 feet to the ground. Oh, well. He dislocated his wrist and broke his elbow.
Oh, well.
That doesn't amount to nothing, does it?
Evel Knievel broke how many bones? He made a career out of it. You know, here's the other thing about Evel Knievel. And he claimed this over and over and over. They broke every bone in his body.
Like the bones in his ear?
The little tiny, the malleus, incus, and stapes. You know, nobody's ever broken those. How could he have broken those?
Well, I think...
He didn't.
I think he tarred with a wide brush.
I think he did, too. And you know, like, there's like 27 bones in your skull. He didn't break all those.
Okay. In researching this, I also came across the business of human cannonballs.
Where they shoot the man out of the
shoot
or woman,
the man out, or of woman
a, out of a out of a cannon.
Now, when they're using that word cannon loosely,
they are. It's like a spring loaded device that actually pushes you out as opposed to fires you out. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they say that if they originally, you know, when they first started these sorts of acts, there was the three ways you could do it was that they would literally put a powder charge, a small powder charge with a wooden plank that you'd stand on and fire you out of it. But they did not fire you out like they're firing a cannonball,
right?
Because
the impact would kill you.
The impact would kill you. And the speed coming out of it would just liquefy you.
Right.
So what they're talking about was that they do the spring-loaded thing. What's the farthest you think a guy's been shot out of us?
150 feet.
200 feet.
200 feet, okay.
That's pretty impressive.
Now, I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing, but like the earliest ones, I assume they were like shooting them into water or something, weren't they? Were they always being shot into a net or into like a pile of hay or...
Net's what they usually use, but there have been fatal accidents where they missed the net.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched one video.
And not that long ago.
Watched a video of a guy, and they fire him out of the cannon. He hits the net and bounces. It's like he hits a trampoline and bounces him off and flails him onto the concrete.
Oh, that hurt.
Yeah, that would hurt. Okay, so of circus acts, tight wire, would you walk tight wire without a...
You know, the funny thing is I'm really good at walking a tight rope.
You know, they say that's not as hard as you'd think.
Right.
With the long pole, that long pole makes all the difference in the world.
We had, you know what, stock racks on a farm truck?
Sure.
You know, they have like the wooden racks and you can fold them up if you want to haul livestock instead of grain.
All right.
I could walk a livestock rack.
I've seen you walk the peak of a barn too.
The peak of a barn's easy.
Livestock rack's pretty good. But you're not looking at falling 25 or 30 feet.
You're not. Well, off the barn you are.
I guess if you fell off the racks in with the hogs like Judy Garland. Judy Garland, yeah. That'd be a bad thing.
They eat your face off.
What about being fired out of a cannon, spring-loaded cannon?
You'll worry them into anemia. What?
Would you let yourself be fired out of a spring-loaded cannon back in the day?
Well, you know, like if it was...
Into a net.
Not going for a world record or anything like that. Yeah, I'd probably do it.
I think I would try that too. They say that they do a lot of training in terms of how...
Getting your knees ready and for the impact or the launch.
Yeah, that when you're launched, you have to land. You want to curl your body to land a certain way. You don't just flail out like someone's tossed you out of an airplane.
Right. Well, you know, it's like those drag race drivers, you know, dragster, you know, like when they come off the line, you know, they're pulling, you know, 20 G's or something like that. And then their faces go out of, get distorted and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or like when they're astronaut training, they put them in the centrifuge
and spin around
and, you know, they're really pressing them against the wall on that.
Like when we used to go to Tom's Twister.
Tom's Twister, yeah.
Six Flags.
Yeah. That was a cool thing.
I don't think they have that anymore. Kids, Tom's Twister was simply a barrel that spun around. You stood against the side and they...
A really big barrel.
A big barrel.
That could accommodate like 40 or 50 people
in a circle around it, and it spun, and then the bottom would drop out, and you would stick to the wall.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It really was. I was wondering, you know, if you were wearing like one of those vinyl sweatsuits, you know, if you slip down.
Every so often, you'd see someone that would slide.
Slide a little bit, yeah. It wasn't one of us, but...
No, I stuck to the wall pretty good.
Yeah.
Going back to the circus, if you're going to be in the circus, what would your act be?
I mean, if I was going to be in the circus.
If you were going to run away to the circus. Circus used to be something you ran away to, you know.
Right.
You're 18, you decide college isn't for you, you're going to run away and join the circus.
Gosh, I don't know.
I'm sure that when you join the circus, initially your job is to clean up the...
I tell you what I'd like to do. I don't know if I could do it or not, but it looked like it was a pretty fun thing to do. Would be the guy who would spin plates on sticks.
Oh, that's like the Ed Sullivan show. That's not dangerous.
And you didn't say dangerous. You said, what job did you want?
Would you?
I want to spin plates on sticks.
Would you let them tie you to a wooden roulette?
Okay. Just back up right there. Would you let them tie you to... You can stop. I don't get tied to anything.
I'm talking about the person that rides like a spinning roulette wheel while they throw knives at them.
I'd rather be the thrower than the receiver.
Okay, do you think they're really throwing the knives? Or do you think that's a set up to where the knives pop out the back?
I think the majority of those shows, the knives pop out the back. But I think there are people that'll capable of doing that. I don't think there's people capable of being tied to the target while a guy's throwing real knives. But
I'll bet it's been done.
I think it's been done. Yeah, sure.
Honey, you're going to be part of the act now. It's your wife's job to stand and be tied while you throw knives at her.
Right. Now, I would like to have seen Annie Oakley in her sharpshooting demonstration. They say she was the real thing.
They say she was fantastic. That she could.
She was the real thing. She could shoot with a mirror. She could do all that stuff.
Like riding from a horse and hit targets.
She was just a natural.
A natural, yeah.
Yeah, you ever see the movie? I don't know how
Annie
true
get
to,
your gun?
Yeah, how true
you mean
to
the musical?
The,
well, like No Business Like Show Business.
The
that's
movie.
A good song.
I don't know how true that is, but there really was a person named Annie
really
Oakley, and she really was a sharpshooter.
In Buffalo Bill's Wild West show, Buffalo Bill had a show that he toured around the country. Did you know that?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know if you knew. You'd sit there looking at
Paul
me like
Newman.
You, like you're, what's Paul Newman got to do with it?
He played the star of the show. They made a movie about it.
No. So you're not talking about Annie Get Your Gun, the musical?
No.
Oh. Well, that's a good musical.
Well, it's a pretty good musical. But I think, you know, being a sharpshooter would be pretty cool. I couldn't do that, but I think it's pretty cool.
Okay, you've reminded me of something else, the circus business, right? Circuses used to tour around the country, right? Winter in Florida, big giant productions with giant trains. Now, those were going to the bigger cities.
Like St. Louis, where half the crew would die. Okay.
But there were smaller circuses that would go around to, like, county fairs.
I've seen those.
That's what I'm warming up to.
Been there.
Calhoun Fair.
Yeah.
Goat lady.
Yeah.
Go to the Calhoun Fair. This has been years ago. And they have on the midway a circus, traveling circus,
mm-hmm.
that's set up shop. And it's probably a 70-year-old woman wearing her spangled leotard that she got when she was like 17.
A lot of the sparkle was gone.
And her old man that was helping her. And they had an act with a trained goat.
Yeah.
And she was the goat lady with a little whip, and she would give the goat a crack, and it was supposed to, like,
get up on a little pedestal.
A little pedestal and, like, stand on its back legs and stuff. And it refused to do anything resembling a trick.
Mm.
While she's ordering it around with what can only be described as a whiskey-affected voice.
I was going to say cigarettes.
Cigarettes. Come on, get out.
She may have been smoking while she was doing the show.
But that's the kind of circus you get nowadays.
What I remember is they had that monkey.
No, I don't remember. They had a monkey, too?
They had that monkey that was supposed to do tricks on, like, a little trapeze thing, and it just ran wild. I mean, it'd go up to the very top and wouldn't come down.
Oh, they had, like, a trapeze rig set up.
Right, for the monkey.
That it was supposed to do monkey tricks.
And it wouldn't do nothing. It was, like, straight out of the jungle.
It
did not earn its banana that night.
I remember it being highly entertaining, though, in a different way.
Oh, it was more enjoyable than if it had actually done the tricks. It was like, wow.
Watching the old woman scold the monkey, and you just wonder what's...
And let me clarify, Rick said scold, not scald.
I'm guessing the way the monkey reacted, that the monkey had been punished in the past.
I'm guessing it had.
Because it didn't show any signs at all that it wanted to behave while the old woman, get down there, Spanky.
It was the worst show involved. You know, like, I don't know.
Like if you were in high school and say, we're going to put on a pretend circus and make it look as bad and stupid as you possibly
could. You couldn't
can.
Have made it as bad as what we watched that
as night. The real thing.
Yeah. There's no way. No way. But that's really what made it fascinating, wasn't it?
Oh, it really
don't you
was.
Wish we had a video of that?
Nah.
And that would be a YouTube sensation.
And what I remember about it was that after they would go through the rigmarole of what it was supposed to do, that it was supposed to do tumbles or trapeze,
The woman would still take a bow.
Yeah, she would take like a big elaborate bow, like it had done the most curtsy, like the most fantastic.
And we're standing there, like, laughing and clapping for her because she's doing this, like just so she'd do it again. That was a memorable show.
Yeah, I figure, after the show, she's sitting in the trailer, her and the monkey smoking cigarettes together,
playing cards. Why don't you do this, John?
This is a hell of a way to make a living.
You said it, Grandma.
Is that what the monkey said?
I'm taking liberties now.
Is it that time? You look like you're reaching for the buttons.
For the shock button. Like the Bugs Bunny.
Okay, well, if it's that time, I guess. See you later.
No more monkeying around here, Rick.
See you later, Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal business firmly in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. There aren't any.